Just a quick word of a really brief introduction before I hand it off to Craig. My name is Kayla, and I'm on the pastoral staff here with Craig. We both work in the area of spiritual formation. So this is like, we're jazzed about today. This is really fun for us. This breakout session is a little less about going to the Word to understand how to study it, to get information, and it's a little more about how do we come to the Word to be formed. How do we sit with the Word and actually encounter God's presence? And so that's a big kind of scary question, but we're going to hopefully give you a couple of resources today, and we're actually going to practice a few of the spiritual disciplines we're gonna talk about. So it's a little hands-on, a little workshop-y. You guys ready to do some real practice in here? Okay, good, great. So I'll hand it off to Craig, and he'll introduce what we're about today.
Excellent. Thanks, Kayla. So this really is workshop. This really is a way to, and we're going to clear out of the way at moments to have you guys engage in practice, which seems like rather than just talking about reading the Bible, maybe read the Bible. And I want to just start right there by saying you would think that those of us on staff find this really easy. Consistently being in scripture, particularly devotionally, for our own edification. I'm not talking for study or, you know, hearing sermons, but just to, as George said, you know, align ourselves with the story of God. And I want to begin by saying there is power in daily scripture reading, but we haven't done it until we've done it. Like, you can't reap the benefits of being regularly in scripture if you're not regularly in scripture. I know that's really deeply profound to say it that way, but I just sort of want to name that right there. And here's my observation in my own life, that when I'm more regularly in scripture, and maybe this has happened to you, I find that very scripture coming to mind in my day. I find myself in conversations with people, and I'm prompted by a truth that I read in scripture that seems so appropriate and so applicable that I realize, oh, that's how God can use scripture in my life, by the Holy Spirit, to prompt us. And what I've learned is that when I'm not regularly in scripture, that happens a lot less frequently, meaning God can't access what isn't there, so that there is something. I mean, honestly, sometimes I think God just slaps us aside the head and tried to get our attention. But I think on a regular basis, there's this sense of that image in Psalm 1, right, of the tree firmly planted by streams of water that bears its fruit in season, is the image of the person who is in the Word regularly. And so I want to put that out there to say, it's hard. I find it a challenge, but there's this benefit that comes by doing it, that it's there for God to access in our life, and I believe he truly wants to. Here's the other thing that I know, and I'm going to hold up my phone as an example. I think these have become one of the greatest helps to being in scripture regularly, and one of the greatest challenges, well, probably one of the greatest challenges in our life, right? I mean, we should probably do an event called Technology and Faith, you know, in the future, just because I think that we're just bombarded by words, by what we click on. And I'll just be honest with you. I have a Bible app on here. I have YouVersion. But how often am I clicking Instagram or Facebook or something else and get to the end of my day and realize I've never clicked on that YouVersion app, even for the verse of the day, I'm saying. I just put that out there to say, what are the habits? How do we get regular in habits? You know, imagine everyone brushed their teeth this morning. If you didn't, you don't need to raise your hand. But there are habits that we get used to doing because there's consequences. And have we thought about what is the benefit of having God's word in our life each day? It's so accessible. So the YouVersion app. I also have the BCP Daily Office app. What is that? Well, it's very straightforward. It's just the lectionary. It's just that 3-year cycle that the church worldwide uses to go through all of Scripture. And so on any given day, you just press it open and it just gives you passages in the Psalms, Old Testament, New Testament, and Gospel. And I was challenged recently, what would it mean to take 2 minutes out of my day and read the Gospel reading each day? It's actually been fabulous. You know who told me and encouraged me to do that? One of my Instagram friends. Happens to be the current Pope. I follow him on Instagram. Okay, that's a little strange, but I'm just keeping it real. He basically put the challenge out to the young people of the world. Do you not have 2 minutes to read the Gospel reading each day? And I've decided, though I'm not Catholic, I didn't have a good answer to say no. And then lastly, pray as you go. This is a devotional app that my wife alerted me to that uses music, worship music to enter in a reading of Scripture with a British accent, which is, I think, the best. And then questions, reflection questions to ponder, 9 minutes each day. Okay, so again, what are those apps? How can we make this a part of our daily life? But I want to come back to the fact that I think it's still hard. I don't always do it, and it's still challenging. And there are times where I just feel like God's word seems dry to me personally, and then I feel dry spiritually. There's a moment in my life where this was very acute. It was right after seminary, where I had studied for over 3 years. The Bible had become a textbook. Whenever I opened it, all I could think of was parsing Greek participles, you don't even need to know what that means, but to get into it academically. And I was okay preparing messages for the college students I was working with in my ministry, but I would just had a hard time opening it up devotionally, sensing that, God speaking to me. And I stumbled upon this short little book. Isn't that great? I mean, who doesn't have time to read a short little book like this? It's very short, written by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, called Psalms, a Prayer Book of the Bible. Excuse me. And in this book, he challenges people to read a psalm and then pray that psalm back to God. And he says, this is what will happen. And it absolutely happened to me. And he was alive during the middle of the 20th century. He said, you will start to pray things that aren't on your mind. It's not your worry that you've brought to Scripture and see how God's going to answer it. But you start praying the things that we know God cares about because they're right in his word. And it was true. I started praying for aspects of life and people and truth about God that I would have never gotten to. And it was just the simple act of opening it up, reading the next psalm, and praying it back to God. Not trying to make it a prayer, just praying it back to God. And what happened is it became so intriguing that I couldn't wait to see what was going to come next and how that might inform my prayers. And I put that out there to say that sometimes we're in a very dry place, and the psalms are a gift to us. They are prayers. And if only to open them up and make those our prayer can be transformative for us. So what happened in all of that is God reminded me that the Bible is not a textbook. And as Pastor Charles, you reminded us last week, if you were here for the message, it's also not a book of rules. It's not a book of sage advice. It's not a self-help book. It's not a book of promises, even as much as it is. It's the book that is God's story. Is a story of God and history, and it's one that we're invited into. It recounts our past as people created in his image. It helps us know who we are in the present, and it tells us and reminds us of our mission in the world, and it's meant to align us with what God is about. Again, if there are so many voices and so many things that are telling us what's important, what does it mean to then be in the word that realigns us with God's big story? That his story is really our story and vice versa. And the truth is that as we enter in to the story that is Scripture, we're not just observers from afar. We're not just sitting in the seat going, well, that sermon was an 8.3 this week, or... You know what I'm saying. We can be observers from afar, but rather enter in. Let me read a quote from Eugene Peterson from a book that I have found really helpful called Eat This Book. He puts it this way. He says, we enter the world of the text, the world in which God is subject, in order to become participants in the text. We have our part to play in the text, a part that is given to us by the Holy Spirit. As we play our part, we become participants. We are given this book so that we can imaginatively and believingly enter the world of the text and follow Jesus. If we have not entered this text as participants, we aren't going to understand what is going on. Let me say that again. If we don't enter into the text as participants, we are not going to understand what is going on. This text cannot be understood by watching what is going on. This text cannot be understood from the bleachers or even the expensive box seats. Maybe that's people who go to seminary. I don't know. I thought that was kind of funny. We are in on it. We're to be in it. I don't know if you know how much of Scripture is narrative. 60 to 70% of the Bible is narrative. If I was going to write a book to tell people how they ought to live as followers, I might have been a lot more didactic. I might have had a lot more proverbial sections. I might have had a lot more do this, don't do that. Instead, we have story. 60 to 70% of the Bible is story. So what does it mean to do what Eugene Peterson says, which is to be invited and to enter in so that all the more God's story is our story and vice versa? Well, I'd actually love for us to do just that this morning. This is the creating some space for us to do some practices together. I've given you a handout that you can take with you because some of what we're doing, we'll be leading from up front. It'll feel like, well, that was great when Craig and Kayla were leading. Where are they now? You know, why aren't they showing up at my house this morning and helping me do this? We won't be able to do that. But Lectio Divina is a practice in the church that goes back to the 200s AD, the third, fourth century, early church leaders doing this. And this is just a more systematic way, giving some structure to how you might do this. But what I'd like for us to do is to take that passage of scripture that I've printed out on a piece of paper very plainly, and I'd like for us to enter in. And here's how I'd like for us to do it. I'm going to give you some time, about 10 minutes or so, and want you to read through the passage and try and fully enter into this scene. It's a parable. And reflect on these questions. What is the mood of this story? What emotions do you feel as you read this story, even if it's super familiar to you? What words stand out to you? And hopefully you have a pen or pencil, you can circle words as they kind of jump out at you. With whom in the story do you best relate and connect to? Might surprise you that it's not the same person you may have connected to last time you read this story. And what do you learn about each character in the story, including God as a character? And what might God be saying to you through this story? Okay. So I'm just going to let you loose, and this is time on your own to read and to reflect and use these questions as a prompt.
Thanks, you guys. We got to move along. This is like rock star group here. This is awesome. Okay, so we're going to do another practice. Are you ready? No, okay, now we're shy. No. Okay, yes, great, yes. Okay, so we're going to do something called imaginative prayer together. It's one of my favorites. And so if you can relate to this, sometimes I feel like it's hard to stay motivated to keep reading the Bible when it feels really foreign or distant from you. Even some of these narratives can feel just kind of estranged from my everyday real life experience. And so what I have found really powerful in my own life is the humanness in these stories and the humanness in the text, given that it's written by human authors, that I can hang on to an emotion or a lived experience and relate. I can relate. And so what we're going to do, and what we've been trying to do today, is hang on to the experience of feeling lost. We've read the parable of the lost son. We're going to read a couple more, the lost sheep, the lost coin. And then I'm going to have you close your eyes and tell you, I'm going to tell you a story. We're just going to imagine and put ourselves again in this place. What does it feel like? Very human experience of being lost. And what can we learn from God in that? Okay, you ready? All right, let's read back in Luke 15. It says, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And he calls his friends and his neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who did not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Would you close your eyes with me? Settle in where you're sitting. Take a few deep breaths. Father, we ask that you would open our minds and our imagination. We ask that you would enter in. We would know and embrace your presence. Have open ears to hear what you want to say. Lord, we pray against the things that interfere, the things that keep us from you. Our doubts, our fears, our anxieties. We lay them down even just for this moment. Our hands are open to you. We open our ears to you. Imagine with me that you are 8 years old. You're on a walk with some friends, lots of friends, actually. Imagine that there are 100 of you walking through the countryside, over hills, crossing streams. You're with your entire third grade class. You are on a nature hike, someplace in the wilderness. Imagine that you are feeling very safe. You are surrounded by a group of people, and you aren't really worried about where you're headed right now. Somebody is leading you. You are following the crowd as it walks through a grassy field. Imagine now that you spot something colorful at the edge of the forest. It looks like a bright spot in the middle of the brown tree trunks and the green leaves. You want to take a closer look. You want to see what that colorful spot might be. It isn't very far away from everyone else, so you leave the crowd. You leave your friends just for a moment to take a closer look at what you've discovered. You are walking now, all by yourself, as you head toward the edge of the forest. You can still hear the others chatting as you continue toward the bright spot in the trees. However, as you walk, you discover that the bright spot is much further away than you had thought. You arrive at the edge of the forest. Bright spot is nothing more than an old orange hunter's hat. Bright orange, left behind by someone a long time ago. You notice that it's stuck on the end of a branch. It looks old and worn out, so you just leave it there where you found it. And as you turn back to join your friends, you notice that they're pretty far off in the valley. You can see them turning a corner off in the distance as they head into the forest, and you begin to run. You run as fast as you can in order to catch up, but you realize you're in trouble as you watch the last one head into the forest. You continue to run fast in order to catch up, but by the time you reach the place where they entered into the forest, they are nowhere to be found. You are alone. You are lost. Imagine, as you stand here all alone at the edge of the forest, you begin listening for voices. Though you can't see your friends, you wonder if you're really quiet and listen hard enough, perhaps you will hear them. And so you wait. You don't hear anything, so you begin to go down a path through the forest. You notice that it's getting darker and the wind's beginning to pick up. It's getting cold now. The sun is setting. You are alone. You are lost. And then, to make matters worse, it begins to rain. You find some shelter underneath a tree. You wonder, how could this have happened? How could I have gotten this lost? You are the only one who is lost. You are the only one who is alone. It's very dark now. You begin to shiver as you reach for some leaves to cover you up, and suddenly you hear a gentle voice calling out your name. You crawl quickly from underneath the tree to look around for the voice. Looking up, you find it's your teacher. He wraps you in a blanket to keep you warm, and you walk through the woods and come out into an open clearing where the whole group is standing. They had been looking for you all along. They noticed that you were missing, and they stopped walking in order to look for you. You have been found. And open your eyes. Take a minute. Just reflect. As we went through this story, what emotions rise to the surface? Jesus' parable, the woman who lost a coin lights a lamp. She sweeps the house and searches carefully until she finds it. The coin belongs to her. She is committed to finding it. What do we learn about who our God is in this parable? Let's just take in these truths together. God does not leave us behind when we stumble or fall. God does not run ahead of us, waiting for us to find our own way, figure it out, or catch up. You belong to Jesus. When you are lost, he will come looking for you. Amen? Amen. How does that feel, that practice that we just did together? Tell me your thoughts, what's going through you. Fear. Yeah. And being lost. Yeah. That's right. That's right.
I think for me, am I allowed to share?
Yes. Yes.
I love these three parables, but I realize I've never been a sheep. And so as you draw us in to reflect on the truth of the lostness in this, and then I have memories of like when I was a little kid lost in the supermarket, yeah. trying to find my mom. And, yeah. and what is that emotion? What does it mean that God meets us right there yeah. when we have those deep, deep, That's scary, right. fearful emotions That's of right. lostness? Yeah. That's
right. We've just model the couple practices. And in your booklet, in your little takeaway for today, there are some other resources listed there under this kind of breakout heading. So the book that the couple books that Craig mentioned before are listed there, if you're interested. And then the last one in our little section in the middle of page 5, I guess, The Fire of the Word, Meeting God on Holy Ground. That's one I would personally recommend. We're just modeling today, but this is something that we hope you can leave from here and really think about your communication with God. Because as Dr. Guthrie said, God, we have a God who speaks. And he communicates powerfully and beautifully. But sometimes, I don't know about you, I feel like, as in any long-term relationship, things shift and change. And sometimes the way we used to talk to God, those avenues don't work anymore. We feel like we can't reach him anymore. And so what we've modeled today maybe is a sitting back, finding quietness in your life to just open yourself up to hearing from God. Whether that's entering into a narrative or letting your mind imagine, kind of holding on to these core human experiences, what can we learn about God simply from just listening to him? And so these are helpful resources for you. We hope that this whole session has been helpful. I'd love to just close us in a word of prayer as we go. Thanks, you guys, for coming. Father, we are so grateful that you are a God who will always come looking for us. Lord, we are grateful for that certainty. We can trust you to be faithful in all things. Lord, we ask you that you would do something new in us. For those of us who feel kind of stale or dry or distant from you, or for those of us who feel lost today, Lord, we ask by your Spirit, would you draw us afresh to you, to your word? Would you speak, Lord? Remind us of what is true. What is true of you and what is true of us as your kids. Lord, we just thank you for this time together. We thank you, Lord, for Dr. Guthrie, and we just pray that the rest of this day would be just edifying. Lord, I just ask that we would leave here with you, not out in front of you, not ashamed or embarrassed of how we've fallen behind, that we would just leave with you. We would walk confidently, Lord, with you, and we would open ourselves up, Lord, to do this life with you. Thanks, Lord Jesus. You truly are faithful, and when we are lost, Lord, you come looking for us. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks, you guys.